Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax. Let's chat about what is happening for the month of April. This is actually our Astro Inklings show that we do at the end of each month or at the very beginning of the month to talk about the upcoming energies. However, my dear friend Tam has not been able to join us this morning as she has other things that she had to do. So it is me alone. But that doesn't mean you'll be missing out on anything except Tam's perspective. And we know I love Tam to come in and share her perspective, but I think we both will agree that the important information is what we want to get out to everybody. And April is quite the month. Whew, as I was sitting here this morning, bringing it all together, you know, things like the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction coming up in April came to mind, the very powerful solar eclipse coming up on April 8th, Mercury in retrograde in April, starting right in on the 1st. So on Monday, the 1st of April, Mercury moves into retrograde. That takes us through a good 3 weeks of the month, not turning direct until April 25th. And of course, all of the other things that happen during any given month, right? The transits of planets to one another, the conjunctions, the oppositions, the yada, yada. So it is a very full month. And today we're going to focus mostly on the big news for April. I don't have time likely in the hour to go through all of the stuff, but you can join me Mondays and Fridays right here, 8 o'clock. Pacific time, and find out all of the things that are going on in the usual way. Now, I'm going to start this morning by telling a story. And is it a story? Oh my gosh. So I think I told all of you that there were two people in our family who were getting ready to transition. And yesterday afternoon, my daughter's father-in-law did transition. And that was like 2 something in the afternoon. And not long after he passed, I asked my son, Brian, who's already passed, whom I have this interesting relationship with, you know, from me on this side, him on the other side. I asked him to show me a sign, make it an obvious one, that Jack, Heather's father-in-law, had arrived or that he, you know, had found his way. And I said, and you're going to have to make it obvious so that I don't miss the sign and make it interesting. I mean, like I always throw these things, these little caveats out so that I'm going to know that it's coming from him. Well, I went to bed last night. I didn't think another thing of it. And that's part of the process, right? You don't keep after, where's the sign? Where's the sign? You know, you just can't keep doing that. You have to be unattached. So about 11:30, I guess it was, Terry woke up because I have a light board that I put my artwork on and I do like my diamond paintings and things on this light board. And it has 3 levels of light, dim, the next brightest and the brightest, and then off, right? And it's a button you have to push, right? And you have to push to go through each level of the light. And he said he woke up because he kept seeing this light getting dim, bright, brighter, off. Dim, bright, brighter, off. And he's like, what the, you know, what is that? He didn't think too much of it. So he closes his eyes to go back to sleep and opens them again just to check and see if the light was on. And the lights were on again. Dim, bright, brighter, dim, bright, brighter, off, right? And I'm blissfully unaware. I'm sound asleep. And finally, he gets up and he's like, I got to go see what the heck is going on. Like, what is pressing on the button to make this light come on? There was nothing. The cat was asleep right here on her cat tree. I was obviously asleep and there was nothing that could have been pressing the button. And when I woke up this morning and he said that, I said, oh yeah, I totally forgot. I asked Brian to show me a sign that Jack had arrived on the other side. There was my sign. It is so easy to continue to have a relationship. I mean, sure, it's sad. I mean, their physical presence is missed so much by us, right? The ability to hug and kiss and talk to one another in the way that humans talk, right? When we're alive, talk. But it is still so possible to have a relationship with those that have passed on. And I always qualify that. I mean, I've even had, you know, interaction with my mother who passed away when I was 25. And it's amazing to me. It's amazing. You just have to be willing to wait it out sometimes, because like I said, I didn't get that message. It didn't even come to me personally. It came through my husband, who was sure to tell me when he woke up the next morning what was happening. So be willing and be open. And I'm very open to this kind of stuff, right? So the first thing I did was tell Heather, because I wanted her to pass on to Jack's family that he is indeed safe and sound, doing well, where he needs to be for right now. All right. Let's say good morning to everybody. Hello, Christine Buckingham and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Chester's mom. Hello, Pam Zaruba. Hello. And Terry Strauss. It's hump day. Indeed, it is hump day. And Pam, anyone else having issues with the shadow of Mercury retrograde? You know, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, Pam. And yeah, it is amazing. LS, aka Chester's mom, and Terry, spot on. I love this. Christine says, wow, there's your clear sign. Sorry for your son-in-law's loss. It is sad. But Jack was 94. He had been on this planet and had so many exciting experiences throughout his life. He earned his opportunity to have peace and no pain anymore. So there's that. So Mercury retrograde, right? The first thing we run into in the month of April is Mercury retrograde. And remember, it was on March 18th where we first entered the shadow of the next Mercury retrograde. And in my experience as a person, not necessarily as an astrologer, but also as an astrologer, it is often the pre-shadow period of time and the post-shadow period of time that is the wonkiest, right? The retrograde comes along itself, and it's not that things aren't weird or that we don't have to be careful or anything like that. It's just that it seems to smooth out somewhat, maybe. We get used to the disruption. I don't know. But it's those weeks, days, there's usually about 2 week period before and a 2 week period after where, you know, things could be their weirdest. Well, you know, I haven't been paying too much attention to the retrograde coming up, but yesterday a giant freighter ship knocks into a bridge in Baltimore, knocks the bridge down and kills their assumed lost 6 people, right? And then this morning, the first thing that pops up on my screen when I turned it on is that there was a bus accident in Germany, also killing 5 people. Mercury rules transportation, right? All of our conveyances from our driving from here to the grocery store to our getting on an airplane and flying somewhere to the shipping and the buses and cars that are on the road. Now, the cars themselves or the buses themselves or the ship itself, that is more Mars territory. It's metal. And it is the accidents that come from that is Mars territory. But look at where Mercury is. Mercury is in Aries, a sign ruled by Mars. So we're linking sort of these big metallic things with accidents or with oopsies, right? Things that happen that are kind of shocking. In this case, I was kind of shocked. How does a big old freighter knock a bridge down? I mean, kind of crazy, right? But Mercury retrograde in action, you see it in the news. And so what we have is Mercury retrograde in Aries that can bring about a mix of challenges and opportunities, right? Mercury retrograde is not punitive. It is not something that you take in and you go, oh no, I'm going to have computer challenges or my things are going to break or things like that. We don't need to do that. We just need to be aware that sometimes our technology, our conveyances like cars and buses and airplanes and so forth are impacted by this little tiny planet that turns backwards or appears to move backwards through the sky, because obviously he's not really moving backwards. And it can bring some fieriness to this. It can bring some confrontation to this period of time. Because the flavor of Mars, of course, is aggressive or assertive. It's impulsive. It's dynamic. It doesn't sit still, right? This is energy that keeps moving. So number one thing, of course, is communication challenges, as Mercury is the communication planet. So we have to be aware of that. And because Aries has impulse controls at times or impulse issues at times, we want to watch what comes out of our mouths, right? How we say what we say, when we say something. We want to be very aware that we don't inadvertently miscommunicate an idea, or that we don't misunderstand somebody else, right? Because people are going to have trouble maybe really absolutely trying to say what they mean, right? And it can come out in a way that is misunderstood or feels like a confrontation or feels like a conflict. So be extra clear in your communication in a way that's helpful, right? Know that if you have something difficult that you have to share with somebody, that you are going to rehearse that speech before times, right? That you're going to be making sure that there's not emotional charges that can come through the words. And even then, there's still the possibility of miscommunication. We want to watch out for impulsive decision-making during a Mercury retrograde. And remember, he's retrograde from the April 1st until the 25th. He's moving through the sign of Aries. And we want to make sure that at least through the month of April, because the shadow will take up all the way until I think the May 4th or something, we want to take care, right? So impulsive decision-making, because Aries is known for that boldness, that courage, that action orientation, we might want to make sure we're not rushing our decisions. Now, just because it's Mercury retrograde doesn't mean that you don't make decisions, but you might want to be very circumspect about the decisions you're making. If it's a big decision in your life, changing jobs or moving or selling something big or buying something big, those decisions you might want to make with very careful consideration. Right. And maybe even consider waiting until the retrograde is over before you do that. But life doesn't stop just because of Mercury retrograde. Okay. That's the key. Now, technology and travel disruptions, right? We've already discussed this. It's an issue. Think of the people in Baltimore now that they're going to have to find another way to get from one side to the other off over that river. Hopefully there are other bridges, but if not, wow. Right? That's going to take some time to fix that. And the disruptions can be more sudden and intense when they are in the sign of Aries, when the retrograde is in Aries. So be prepared for delays. Oh my goodness. Dude, I swear. I knew it was a bad idea to let dude in the house this morning, but it was raining. I took pity on the poor cat, but now he is annoying the heck out of my cat. So I'm sorry if you hear cat noises in the back. It's Dude and Binksy not getting along. All right. So back to where was I? Travel disruptions, technical glitches, technology, you know, going up and down, all of these things totally possible with a Mercury retrograde. In fact, this morning, first thing I knew, oh, it's Wednesday. So I'm doing this broadcast. I'll need to print off a chart and print off my calendar. Yep. And then my printer wouldn't work. And I was like, okay, but I am not going to get annoyed. I am not going to get irritated. I'm going to stay in peace. So I decided to go put my makeup on and wait to play with the printer until I was done. When I came back in, I realized that an update had occurred yesterday. And when the update occurs every Tuesday, there's a Microsoft update. I don't know if you guys get them like that, but I do. And it changes my settings for my printer. And I have two copies of my printer. Because that's what HP did for me one time when the printer wasn't working and it had defaulted back to the original printer setting. So I just changed that setting and voila, I got prints. I got it to print. So sometimes just being patient, not being impulsive, not being angry or upset can cause you to have a little bit more open mind and find solutions. Now, another issue that can come up with Mercury retrograde is revisiting the past. Aries is a sign associated with confrontation and conflict. So we always sort of seem during a Mercury retrograde in Aries to come back maybe to anything that has remained unresolved in our lives between us and another person, or even, you know, within issues that you have not yet resolved within you. So lingering issues that may find closure, right? That's the idea. But again, being patient, if it's between you and another person, being diplomatic, if it's something within you, not beating yourself up or browbeating yourself. Anytime we have a planet retrograde, including Mercury, it's a great time to reassess your goals and your plans, the directions in which you want to move. And also to review any projects that you're in the midst of, or any, big things that you're working through. It's a great time to slow down the work moving forward, to reassess or reevaluate or reimagine even what it is that you are doing. And during this time, then new things can come to light that you didn't consider before, or that might make the project easier, work better, faster, all of these things. So sometimes it really is helpful to slow your roll. And of course, anytime Mercury is retrograde, it rules the mind and as well communication. So it might be a really good time for self-reflection and introspection. And we heard that a couple of times on Monday during our conversation about the upcoming, this time period between the two eclipses, right? The lunar eclipse on Monday and the solar eclipse on April 8th, that it's a good time for self-reflection and for that introspection. So use this period to reassess your life goals, your dreams, what necessary adjustments might you need to make in order to align more authentically with what you want, right? Or what you desire. And above all, patience with yourself, with your family, your friends, with each other in community. Patience, 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 but also flexibility. Right. So we have to be able to maintain a positive attitude and to be able to adapt to the changing circumstances that we're being presented with during this period of time. It's just the way it is. And we can't help this right now. And this isn't just a Mercury retrograde thing. Mercury retrograde just kind of amps it up a titch, right? Or makes it more personalized because Mercury is a personal planet. But there is a whole host of energies right now that are, you know, this drumbeat of change and transformation and coming into our own authenticity and finding our identity and living from that place. So slow down. The Mercury retrograde in Aries is an invitation to slow down, reassess your goals, your dreams, and what you're doing, how you're doing what you're doing, how you're saying what you're saying. Look at your intentions and all of that, and mindfully navigate the transits that or the opportunities or the experiences that are being brought to you in order to really harness growth and evolution, which is literally the bigger picture of what is happening for all of us. All right, let me check for questions. Good morning, Teddy. Good morning, Leilani. Good to see you. M.A. Jules, good morning to you. And Chester's mom, I'm just going to call you that if that's okay. I'm doing every protection prayer I can, so keep the Mercury shadow away till after my move out of state and the road trip for the weekend, April 1st. And she's a double Gemini. So yes, actually. But again, you know, we can't stop our lives because of a Mercury retrograde. And for whatever reason, this plan has been in place, that weekend has been chosen, and it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Just double check everything. Make sure you didn't inadvertently leave a box in the old house and have to drive all the way back to get it, or that you have the right paperwork for the truck or right paperwork for the new home. All of that. Just double check. That's all. And carry on, and may you have a wonderful move, right? Now, let's see what else is going on. I've been a bright star when you need me, TJ says. When our bridge dropped, it was a year. There are many more. Yeah, we had a bridge issue too, by I believe it was a truck that hit a girder that caused a chunk of the bridge to fall out, and people fell into the river. It was terrible, but I don't know that it was as destroyed as the bridge is in Baltimore at this point in time. Okay. And let's see, Catherine Worcester, good morning to you. Jolie, good morning to you. It's good to have you with us. Now I'm going to transition over to the next big news let me just say in passing, Venus is also moving into Aries. Oh yeah, by the by. So we're adding more weight to that particular transit of Aries. And I just want to show you, let me highlight this right now so you could see. I'm going to show you the astrology chart for, let's see, did I do this for the new moon? I did. This is for the solar eclipse. I want you to see every one of the, that it highlighted sign is Aries. And we have the planet Venus there, North Node, Sun and Moon, Chiron, all three of them in a conjunction, Eris and Mercury in retrograde for that solar eclipse. That's a lot of energy in one sign. Is it any wonder craziness is happening, right? So let's talk about that solar eclipse. And I'm going to go into quite a lot of detail, but we will talk about it again on Friday and probably on Monday in some aspects. So, you know, don't worry if you didn't get it all today. We will absolutely talk more about it. So the solar eclipse in Aries brings a very potent surge of energy into the planet. And it marks a significant turning point or a new beginning in the area of your life that is ruled by Aries. So you see the symbol here. This is what Aries looks like. If you have your own natal chart, which you should if you're coming to my morning shows, so this is a learning tool here, take a look and find what house, which is the slice of pie that you'll find Aries in. What house is that in? Because that's going to tell you where a turning point is happening, where change might be coming for you. And the solar eclipse is always at a new moon. So a new moon always marks a new beginning or a time to set intentions, to start something new, to move forward. Okay. And even though it's happening during a Mercury retrograde, which might slow down the pace at which your new beginning proceeds, it's absolutely a time for new beginnings. And I'm kind of excited because this one falls in my house of career and profession, which most of you do not know, but I've been sort of in this wandering space, not clear about whether I'm staying in the astrology world. Am I going? Am I changing what I'm doing? That's been my life since this year started, right? So I just keep every day just reaffirming, you know, show me what is the thing to do. So I'm very excited that this is coming up for my 10th house of career and profession. But wherever it's happening for you, it's offering an opportunity to take the next steps. So the new beginning or the fresh start is always available at a new moon. And it's a little jacked up at this point because it happens to be a solar eclipse as well. And it's all happening in a sign that is a sign of new beginnings. Aries, right? The first sign of the whole zodiac. So we have like this amplified opportunity to begin again. Or to begin something new, completely new, right? It's all there. And it heralds a time for that fresh start, right? If we can clear all the old, if we can let go of the past, all the conditioning in our minds, all the conditioning aspects, things that we do in our lives, then it's a great time to clear all that out. And that leaves a lot of space for opportunity, right? For newness. And of course, Aries is a sign related to self-expression, speaking, or being authentically you, right? No longer being able to tolerate the things that you do that are by design somebody else's ideas or that type of thing. So lots of really good stuff. It's also a potent moment to take decisive action. And I'm just going to say, again, because Mercury is also retrograde during the solar eclipse, that pay attention, right? Make sure you're staying aware and, you know, dotting all your I's and crossing all the T's, putting periods and exclamation points at the end of the sentences just to be sure that things are right. And guess what? If they're not, the world isn't going to crash and burn, right? Unless somebody accidentally presses the button and starts a nuclear war, right? So, barring that kind of disaster, life is going to keep going on, even if you've made a mistake. So don't be afraid to start moving in a new direction. Self-discovery and personal growth are huge during this solar eclipse, again, because of the nature of Aries, a new beginning, right? You might feel inspired to explore new vistas, new ideas, and new ways of being, and assert your individuality into things, right? If you're someone who's been leaning into the Libra part of that, which is make nice, do what you think makes other people happy, then it's time to push yourself into the new side. What do I want? Who do I want to be? Those are your questions. And then go forward confidently, right? Confidently. It's time to embrace your authenticity and step into your own power. That is a signal coming from the cosmos at this point in time. So this is a time to initiate new action or change in your life, as well as taking some risks. Now, I'm not saying to go out and risk it all. That is so not what I'm saying. But Aries comes with it a little bit of boldness and courage to step outside of yourself or to color outside of the lines a bit. So the solar eclipse offering us the opportunity to initiate positive change in our lives by daring to do it. Daring. Dare yourself to be truly authentically yourself. And meaning, you know, courage to pursue your desires, even if it's a little bit scary, right? If it's not scary, then you're staying in your comfort zone. And this is a time to generally speaking, get outside of your comfort zone, right? To move forward a little bit. And this is a sign of the eclipse that means it's time for us to clear a path for growth. Anything that's been holding you back, holding you down, it's time to let it go. Clear it out. Move it out. Because solar eclipses are often coinciding with the energies of endings as well, right? The solar eclipse and lunar eclipses come in a pair. This time the lunar eclipse was first, so hopefully there's already been the releasing and the letting go. But it can still be that in order to move forward, you realize you really have to let it go, let something go, right? So if it's not serving your highest good, if it is clothes in your closet that you haven't worn, let them go, right? It's not going to be about your clothes in your closet, but I'm just saying to make my point. If it isn't serving you, if you haven't used it, if it isn't active in your daily life, let it go, right? So that you have room for the new. If you don't, you don't have room, right? How can you take in more if you don't have space for it? It's like hoarders, right? They don't have the space for more stuff. It just keeps piling up, right? You ever watch that show? It's really sad. The people, you know, get to the point where they just have this little teeny tiny space for them to sleep because they haven't been able to let go. So maybe ask yourself, what have I not been able to let go of? What's not serving me anymore? And then let those things go, because that brings, it kind of ushers in new clean air, new space for new things to come into your life. It also increases your energy and vitality, which is a distinctly Aries energy as well. It's a dynamic and energetic sign. And it's a surge of this vitality and a surge of motivation that can come. And it becomes fuel for your passions, fuel for you to pursue your dreams and your goals, and to take action to manifest those dreams, right? Taking action. We live in a 3D world, people. We can't just think it and make it happen. We actually have to take action. If you want to write a book, you actually have to write it. It just doesn't write itself, right? Taking action. Embrace your independence, your individuality. This is a sign that values autonomy, right? So taking a look looking at where in your life might you be codependent in some way, or overly dependent in some way. And honor your individuality, create new boundaries, right? You're the one that's allowing that boundary to be trampled, so you can also take the steps to reinstitute a new boundary, right? So embrace your unique strength, your unique wisdom, be you. That could be like the biggest moral of the story for this solar eclipse. Be you. Do what's right for you, right? Don't worry about what others will think. Don't worry about what it's going to look like. Just do it. Just be you. All right. So overall, the solar eclipse in Aries is a time for initiating change, for embracing new opportunities, asserting your individuality, tapping into your inner fire. This is a fire sign. Tapping into your passion, seizing the moment, taking action, right? It is courageously pursuing your aspirations, igniting positive transformation in your life. It's the fuel, right? Setting the stage for growth and fulfillment in the months to come. Now, let's talk about that for just a second, because it's not all happening on one day and then it's over and you've lost your chance. It doesn't work that way. Eclipses are, they come in pairs and they come twice a year. So the eclipse pattern, both lunar and solar, that are occurring here in the spring will also be activated then all the way until the fall or autumn when we get to the next set of eclipses. Okay, so that gives us 6 months. 6 months to be able to activate more and more. And anytime a planet comes across 19.24 degrees in your chart, which is the place the solar eclipse is, or 5.07 Libra, where the lunar eclipse was, more becomes available, more information downloads, more opportunities come up, more issues might be in your face around whatever is beginning during this period of time. So you have time. There's no rush to get out there and do the new stuff. You have plenty of time. Now, this solar eclipse, as we talked about, is also in an exact conjunction to Chiron. Exact, to the minute. 19.24. It's amazing, right? That the sun, the moon, and Chiron, all three. And that adds an extra layer of depth to the whole solar eclipse deal, because Chiron is the wounded healer. If you're someone under 50, you've been, you know, experiencing wounding in your own life, perhaps at the hands of other people or circumstances, and all in the service of growth and expansion. It's really not punitive. If you're over 50-ish, then it is now something that you're likely experiencing through other people. It almost puts you in the position of being the wise one that can help others who are going through the same things, right? So I thought this was an interesting thing because, you know, there's been a lot of drama and stuff going on in my life, but it's around me. It isn't me, right? So that makes a difference with Chiron, right? I'm in a position of helping other people at this point who are going through traumas and dramas. It's not necessarily happening to me. If I were less than 50 years old, I could be experiencing all these things personally, right? To me or to, you know, in my life personally. So Chiron here isn't about harming us. It is about kind of tickling us, challenging us in a way to move through the wounds, to move through the pain, to move through the baggage so that we can be clear. It's actually in human design, we think of Chiron as our spiritual challenge, right? The challenge, the gauntlet laid down in front of you. How are you going to move through this, right? All right. So Chiron holds our deepest wounds and the potential for healing and growth that arises from our working through those issues. Now, you may not have your own natal Chiron in Aries, but as a people, as a collective, we are all experiencing a Chironic wound of identity. Who are we? Who am I? What do I do? Who do I be? What do I want? All of those things, your identity, come through Aries. So number one is we're healing old wounds during this solar eclipse. And because the solar eclipse, again, is a new beginning, how would it be? How would you feel if all the weight on your shoulders was let go of? Wouldn't you feel lighter, brighter, more positive, more optimistic? letting the wounds heal. And this is a great time for healing past wounds, releasing old pain. It's kind of an invitation from the universe to confront any lingering emotional or psychological scars that you have, and work toward resolving them and moving forward, right? Letting them go or healing them. This is a time for self-discovery and acceptance. We kind of already talked about that a bit with in the context of Aries. But this is certainly a time to embrace everything about yourself, even your vulnerabilities, right? We all have them. Accept yourself fully, all your wounds, all your failings, all your blah, blah, blahs, right? It's all who you are. It's all part and parcel. Who would you be without that experience in your life, right? So there's an opportunity during this eclipse to explore your innermost depths with courage and compassion for yourself, gaining insights into your true nature. I mean, this is a dilly of an eclipse. So find acceptance for yourself, because in finding acceptance for yourself, you also find acceptance for others and for all their failings and their vulnerabilities, right? We're all here trying to do the same thing, live a life that is filled with love and joy and peace and family and friendship and go around the wheel, all that stuff, right? With Chiron, we see empowerment through vulnerability, which is interesting, right? We don't usually think of our vulnerabilities as being a place of power, but Aries is associated with strength and courage. So the vulnerability and the authenticity become powerful things, powerful allies during this kind of transit. It is also a time for initiating healing initiatives, let's say, or healing techniques. So if you are a healer, maybe there's something new that you're flirting with that you want to do in your practice. If you're someone who needs healing, perhaps this is something new that comes up that can act as a sort of proactive therapy for you, or, you know, something that helps you move through whatever the problem is. This is a journey, perhaps, of self-healing that we all go on, with Chiron being involved in this. Either way you look at it, we're forging new paths of empowerment for ourselves. And, you know, help being there to watch others and help others forge new paths of empowerment for themselves, maybe as a role model, right? Other people see you taking care of your issues in your life and others become inspired to do the same thing. All in all, this is about embracing the journey to wholeness. That is the biggest thing for the new moon and Chiron coming together here. So ultimately, it reminds us that our lives are a healing journey, that we've all been wounded in some way. And it's the journey. It's not a destination. That becoming whole, becoming healed is a journey, right? We take this journey. And, you know, we just have to acknowledge that, yeah, our wounds, our poor experiences in this life have actually created who we are, or have been a part of who we are. So bring it in, hug it, love it, make it all okay, no matter what it is that you've experienced in your life, right? No matter what it is that you think you've done to hurt others, it's been a point in your life that needs healing. So it's the time. Now, something else totally fascinating about the solar eclipse is that the sun, the moon, and Chiron, all in a conjunction, are sitting at the gate 51 in your human design. And the gate 51 is known as the gate of shock or awakening. In the I Ching, it is called arousing, which means, you know, that's fanning these flames, right, of awakening. And it has a lot of transformative potential to have this solar eclipse and Chiron at the gate 51. So think about this as an awakening to the deepest layers of wound that you have and of healing that is potential of those vulnerabilities. And the eclipse here in this gate can bring sudden ahas or epiphanies, revelations about your emotional pain, about the path in your life that you've been leading. And that gives us the potential then for growth, right? So growth and healing. This is also a gate that has us working to break through barriers, I guess, is a way for us to put this. It encourages us to break down walls, encouraging us to break through limitations, right? Usually limitations are self-generated. I mean, there may be certainly a physical aspect of limitation that you're experiencing, but you don't have to let that limitation be what guides your life, right? We can move through. And it's often unexpected events or shocks that occur that break us through those barriers. And with Chiron's influence here, the eclipse may be a catalyst for breakthrough moments in our healing journey, personally, but also collectively, right? Collectively as a people, collectively as a nation, right? A breakthrough experience. And it allows us then maybe to transcend any of those longstanding wounds that we have held in our souls or in our hearts, but not only just us as individuals, again, for us as a people, as a nation, or as a planet, right? Breaking through and embracing change, because the eclipse is a period of change and new beginnings. And with the gate 51, the potential for shock, which leads to an awakening, is that upheaval that leads us to growth. It leads us to change. It leads us to transformation. It shakes us out of complacency and inspires us to move on, right? To move up, to move over, to change, right? It triggers our resilience as people, right? It's a sign, it's a gate that when shocking things happen, we rise to the occasion, or that's, you know, how do we come up to greet the potential of someone's death, of our own healing journey, of a loss in income, or whatever the shock might be that you experience in your life. And it could also be good shocks. Shocks aren't always negative, right? They could be really positive. You win the lottery. You get the job of your life, or the opportunity of your life. Those things are possible too. Either way you look at it, it has a boom, a bang for your buck in it. But again, that is not new energy, because Chiron has been sitting in this gate for a while. The North Node is also sitting at this gate. So we actually have four things at the gate 51. Shock is prevalent everywhere in all kinds of ways, shapes, and forms. And Chiron's association here is also about healing trauma. You know, the healer, the wounded healer archetype in general is about where the wounds are, where you've been hurt, or what can bring you pain, what causes you pain. And bringing those traumas that triggered those shocks that triggered the trauma, perhaps, up to the surface could be the best thing that we need in order to be catalyzed for change, to move in the right direction. It can also awaken us to our purpose, right? Something that happens that just is associated with awakening you to your life's purpose. Because the gate 51, by the way, sits opposing the gate of spirit. So the gate of shock in human design is across from the gate of spirit. So what is the shock doing? It's moving you more towards spirit, embodying it, love of spirit, seeing yourself as the divine human, right? God and human. Source and human, right? All within this one package of your body moving through this life. So healing trauma associated with all of that, huge transformation, waking to your purpose, aligning more fully with your authentic path, which is different from my authentic path, which is different from, right? Nobody's path is exactly the same. We might be born on the same day. We might even be born in the same part of the world. We could be like twins and be born within minutes of one another and still have different paths, different purposes, right? Because it's your will, it's your choice that creates the opportunities during this time, or during life in general. This is a time for integration and rebalancing often shock will show you where you're out of balance, where you're out of harmony. So the process of integrating something new, fully integrating what you've learned, rebalancing your life, all it being invited for us during this period of time. So this is going to be a potent time of profound healing, possibly awakening, transformation to be sure. And it invites us to embrace change as a way to confront our core wounds, to shake us up out of that wound and into the light, so that we can experience greater clarity, greater purpose, and resilience. And by the way, the earth during this period of time is in the gate 57. So we have a lot going on in the gate of shock and awakening and arousing our, you know, need to transform. The earth grounding us in gate 57, the gate of intuition, right? Instinct in the now, right? Instinct in the now, staying in the now. So it's an interesting grounding energy, I think, right? For all of us. All right. Now, here we go. We have another hallelujah moment coming up in April. And that is on April 20th. It's like the last 3 years we've had things going on April 20th that were profound. It's just amazing to me. This time it's a transiting Jupiter and transiting Uranus conjunction at 21 degrees of the sign of Taurus. Now, that also puts it right in the window of that solar eclipse because they're only a degree and a half away from one another where they make that conjunction. And these two planets coming together, we looked at in December when I did the astrology or the astro design for 2024. We saw this coming. We were aware. And hopefully all of you remember this, but let's go through what this might mean. Now, Jupiter and Uranus are both transpersonal planets. So they don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily herald some major change for you personally, although you're a part of the collective. So you are also benefiting from their coming together or kicking and screaming against what they represent in your own personal life and in your own way. So let's take a look at this. So they come together. Remember, Jupiter rules growth and expansion. It rules the bigger picture, right? So it is expansive. It is growth oriented. It is representative of our evolution in consciousness. So it's the bigger picture of what's happening. And the planet Uranus is about change, awakening, rebellion, revolution, right? Innovation. All of these things are Uranus territory. So we're carrying a bit the shock theme into Jupiter and Uranus, even though they're not sitting at the gate of shock, right? But Uranus's presence here brings the surprise, brings the, oh, I can't believe that just happened kind of thing, right? So they together in Taurus can be impacting our material world, our material possessions, our banking, our financial, the economy, the bigger picture of the finances, our stability, our security, our values, right? That's what Taurus rules. So one, there could be huge financial opportunities, financial restructurings, things like that, that impact us on a financial picture. Do not be surprised by that. I was kind of surprised by how Bitcoin is huge right now. I have holdings with Bitcoin and I was like, la, la, la. It keeps going down, kept going down, or it was static, but now it's going up and going up. It's really amazing to watch this happen. So there could be sudden financial growth and expansion during this time. Investments that you hold might yield higher percentages, or there could be some new innovative approaches to dealing with financial matters that create positive change. But it's also essential that we exercise caution, that we don't throw caution to the wind or take undue risks during this period of time. Now, interestingly, this morning, the first, besides the bridge and the bus accident, I also noticed that there's a person in charge of a banking institution who's suggesting that we raise the retirement age in this country because 65 is people living so much longer, it's having an impact on Social Security and on the financial area of Social Security. Now, at first glance, I was like, well, yes, right? I'm going to be 65 in 3 years, and don't you dare change that now, right? Don't you dare. However, if it's not a sustainable financial system, and likely it's not, it needs to be addressed. Maybe somebody can come up with a very innovative way to hold the value that we have, the value of our retirement and having that safety net for people when they retire without making them work until they're 70 years old, right? We got to find a happy medium here. So I'm holding out hope. Financial opportunities and unique, maybe innovative ways of addressing finances. Now, innovations in the material realm, right? You know, Taurus also rules the land, right? The land, the earth that you have your feet on, the ground, right? So farming and agriculture, forestry and forest management, even in some respects, the water, how we manage our resources, the resources like water, are a part of the experience. So I would expect that maybe there's going to be an enhanced, maybe focus on material resources, stabilizing maybe to our resources, agriculture, real estate, food, food technology, how we grow our food, how we preserve our food, what we put in our food. That brings up things like modified genetic products, right? I was eating a can of soup the other day, and for whatever reason, I just thought, yeah, I'm going to read the label. And I was mortified. It says very clearly, the products in this soup are genetically modified. Now, I'm not huge on not eating genetically modified foods, but it makes me go, because I don't think we've tested what those modified seeds growing into modified plants do in a body, right? We don't know. So, yikes, right? No more am I eating Chunky soups. Chunky the brand, or think it's Campbell soups. We might find that there is a shift in values, that people in general, this is a general kind of call for a shift in our values. What are we focusing on? It's a collective shift in values, where people are placing maybe more importance on unconventional or progressive ideas and ideals. This is progression. This is Uranus and Jupiter coming together. It's not that we are throwing out the Taurus stability and the Taurus security, but we're looking at it in a new way, right? We have a new value system based on maybe freedom, based on equality, based on sustainability, right? That's the huge thing. And more emphasis on that. And I remember reading not long ago an article on the numerology of this year and seeing that a big shift was coming in April and May in terms of the mood, if you will, of the people. Where right now, you know, the mood is kind of unsure, tentative, that kind of thing. People aren't like, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. And after that, there was this very much a certainty about what we needed to do, where we needed to go. And the people who embody those ideals of progressiveness, of creating sustainability, of transforming, they're the ones that we want in office, right? They're the ones that we want as leaders. So that shift in values coming. But because these are collective planets and the collective doesn't change on a dime, we may still have more of the old while we're waiting for the new, right? So just be aware of that. But we could find that there is a lot of disruption happening in our established systems. My friend Terry out here the other day was telling me that for whatever reason, the power went out where she lived and it was out for hours. And then she went to the store in another city and their power went out, right? The power grid taking a hit. Uranus rules the power grid, right? And Jupiter has a magnifying effect. Jupiter can magnify the problem so that we'll take action, and Jupiter can magnify the good side of things as well. So disruption, and it can manifest as sudden shifts in our economy, changes in financial policies, disruptions in our traditional industries, right? Things that are changing. And all we can really do is embrace change. That no, we have to know that every disconcerting thing that's happening is happening likely to lead us in a new direction, to hope that we will wake up and smell the coffee and do something about it, embrace that life is changing, that we can't keep going backwards. We just can't. It's not sustainable. And there can also be the potential for an individual and collective awakening. You know, the awakening key, the awakening gate is being hit by Chiron, Sun, and Moon. And that is sustaining us, and the North Node sustaining us, right, for something new coming. So rather than clinging to the outdated, outmoded, out old or old ways of being and doing things, we have to embrace this awakening. And all of us may become more aware of our values, of our desires, of the need for change in our personal lives as well as society. And that can bring a surge in the next couple of years. These are things that play out over time. Jupiter conjunct Uranus, that surge in activism or social and economic movements, right? Things that people come together, grassroots movements. That's a huge Jupiter Uranus thing. You know, people coming together with a common cause or a common purpose and having a lot of power to do so in this, rather than our institutions having the power. It's power to the people, right? Assuming we're willing to step up and use the power wisely, right? There's always that. So we're likely to be in a period of dynamic change, of growth, innovation, particularly in areas related to finance, to our material resources, our values, our worth, our worthiness. So we have to remain flexible. Again, that's like the calling card for the whole year. Be ready and willing to pivot. Which means be willing and ready to change, being mindful of the need for sustainability and stability and sustainability. They're locked hand in hand here, right? If we're going to do something, we have to make sure it's going to work for the long haul and not just for that moment, right? So now, those are the big things for April. There's a lot of other things. So join me on Mondays and Fridays, where we break down what's happening for the week or for the weekend, depending on which day it is, so that you can be in the know, right? So that you know how to handle all of this. And certainly, if you have any questions, all you have to do is reach out to me. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw us an animal card. And this animal can stand as our spirit guide, our spirit animal for the month of April. How's that? It'll be interesting to see what animal we get for this. I would get turkey spirit. The turkey. So tasty. It says turkey spirit. Give with gratitude and grace. It is card 61, which is a 7. Here's the turkey. Beautiful turkey. Give with gratitude and grace. And card 61. Let's see what that says for us. It was right side up. And it says, turkey spirit's message for you, and this is for the whole month of April, a kind of an over-lighting energy, okay, is that you always have the potential for manifesting a rich reality. For the turkey represents generosity and a celebration of abundance through giving to others. Give freely without expectation, and you shall receive, for the manifestation of abundance is happening right now. Align with it by sharing your good fortune with others, whether you give money, loving guidance, the gift of listening, or kindness in any form. Immerse yourself in the flow of generous abundance, being a channel for turkey spirit and the desire of spirit to see all beings experience the blessing of plenty. That's a very Taurus theme, I think. Give with gratitude and grace from a wellspring of love and compassion, knowing that spirit will respond by giving you all that you need in this moment and in all moments to come. You know, that's interesting because on Monday we got Buffalo, who is also the expression of abundance, right? So turkey spirit, give the giving end with gratitude and grace, and you shall receive. All right, that is it for me today. Tam, we missed you. Thank you for being with me today. I'll see you on Friday morning. Take care. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.